Joshua chapter 4. I asked Brother Redman, was he not singing tonight? And he said they won't let him no more. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. The way he talked, brother, he could sound good on bass, don't he? I mean, you know. We look down in the book of Joshua chapter 4. We look at the memorials of his crossing. We've been digging through this chapter. And we saw the position of the people in verses 1 through 9. Then we're looking at the position of the priests here, verses 10 down here to verse 18. And as we look tonight, we're going to pick up in verse 14. It says, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up into the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. I like how God has shown us miracle after miracle in the Bible, but we get here and we see something special God done. It's the first time waters got stacked on top of one another in the river. And if I understand correctly, it's the last time it happened. And as we looked earlier, we saw that ark, the path of that ark traveling towards the promised land there is the same path Jesus is going to take on his second coming. Everywhere that ark goes, there's going to be death. When he returns, the blood will be up to the horse's bridle in it. All who oppose him, have a good day today while you can.
Right.
It may be crucifixion day you think now, but Sunday is coming. He is coming back. And I've often reminded when somebody sings something like these songs that the choir sings, these special songs we have here, that it's a joy to be born again. No matter how bad it gets, Jesus is always good. No matter how often the tempter may come, the door to get out of that temptation is always there. And that door has a name. It's Jesus Christ as well. It's Him. And I'm reminded of all these joys, but I look in this passage of Scripture and I see the joys of Jesus in Joshua chapter 4. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for the many joys you bring us, Lord. We thank you, God, for the inspired, inerrant Word of God that we can look at tonight, Lord, and see your work and your words. And God, as we come tonight, we pray, Lord, that you'll move and do a great work in this service tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd open our understanding, Lord God, to the Word of God according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help us all to understand, Lord. I pray you'd help me preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we want to thank you in advance for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at the joys of Jesus, I want to show you something tonight. As you look down in verse 14, it says, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua. Listen, you may be on the backside of nowhere doing nothing you think that nobody notices, but keep this in mind, God is watching. I hear these people, they get this, and they get in these newspapers, these magazines, they brag about how many they baptized. I wonder if they can find them the next week after they baptize them. Wonder if they can get a hold of them a month later. I see people saying, oh, you won't believe what we're doing down here. We had 30 transfers of letters. I got news for you. Them 30 that come in, their letter stays down there in that post office more than does any church office in Cherokee County.
Come on.
Be careful about bragging all them people because they'll come back and bite you for long.
Right.
So how do you know that? Well, there's members here at one time. Or one like them.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I tell this story out of town. Them preachers say, you know, that's right. That's what it is here, too. I'm thinking, man, how did that happen? But I see this. I see that on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. It says, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. I see that first joy of being in the Lord Jesus Christ is that God's promises are fulfilled. God's promises are fulfilled. So how do you know? Because God told Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee." Chapter 1, verse 5 of this very book. And you know what God did? That very thing. Can you imagine when they're going to get over here into chapter 5 and he's going to have a face-to-face confrontation with Jesus? But prior to that, God said, I'm going to treat you just like I did Moses. And he'd have to run back down to the bottom of the hill and say, "I just saw Jesus up there on top of that hill," before they listened to him.
Right.
They listened to him before then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Because God did a work that they couldn't deny.
Right.
I see when I look at him, God's promised the people that they would make it into this very land that they've just walked over on. God promised that. And in Jesus Christ, all His promises are fulfilled. They are all, listen, they are all fulfilled.
Yeah.
So He hadn't fulfilled all of mine. It ain't time yet.
Amen.
That day has not come.
Right.
I like how people say, "You boys have been preaching on that rapture, it ain't come." That day is coming.
Right.
Listen, I like how God works without our timepieces on His wrist. Because when He gets through doing something, it looks like it was in perfect time the whole time. I've never seen God's seed begging bread, never seen all that, but I have seen this. I've seen God send bread at the right time. And people have tried to tell me over the years, "Well, I tried the Lord." You didn't try Him. You didn't try Him. You try Him, He proves Himself faithful. He proves Himself fruitful every time to everybody that's His. The problem is, you may have, quote, tried Him, but He didn't possess you. See, I see God's promises are fulfilled because God promised Joshua something, He delivered. See, you need to get in the Bible and get these promises of God and cling to them rather than all the other things people will tell you in this world. Because I see a lot of people telling a lot of things that just ain't happening. I used to love to go up to the grocery store and things, and I would buy one of these every while. I'll confess my sin. I'd get me a National Enquirer or some of them books, and my favorite was the Weekly World News because it was the one that had the biggest stretch of imagination to it. And I'd want to see when the earth was ending.
Yeah.
And they were always wrong.
Yep.
Bill Clinton didn't die like they said, neither did Elvis.
Huh.
The Loch Ness Monster's got to be the oldest thing living on planet Earth. It was just seen again last week. Now, if there was more than one of them, it looks like you'd see more than one of them. Or it'd be a baby in some of the pictures. It'd be bigger than other ones. Somehow it's still around. But if I want to have a laugh, I look at that. If I want entertainment, I've cut out cable television. I'm not anti-TV, I just cut out cable. Because I found out the real benefit of having cable is you get internet. With internet you get Facebook, and there's more funny things on that than there are anything in this world. Real life stuff.
Yeah.
And just in case the internet's out, all I got to do is go up to Walmart and I'll see it but up there live and in person. I can get all I want.
Yep.
I can get a 30-minute sitcom to make me chuckle, or I can get an hour-long drama, depends on how long I want to stay.
Come on.
But if I want the truth,
yeah,
I go to this book, and as God promised Joshua He is going to do something, He fulfilled it. And if I see a promise in here that's pertaining to me, I know God's going to fulfill that thing.
Come on.
You know, God don't have to part the Red Sea for me.
Sorry.
I don't have 2.5 million people trying to get away from my army. But if I did,
yeah,
I'd claim that promise.
Come on.
If I was a person today that said, "You know what? I want to be one of them people like Moses. I won't do it unless God sends a burning bush." God ain't going to send a burning bush.
Right.
He'll speak to you so clearly in your heart you won't need nothing but a yes or a no out of yourself.
Right.
Burning bushes are not necessary anymore. Because, listen, God had to speak to Moses outside his body. He's living inside you.
Right.
That's why you don't need the burning bush. I see people say, "Well, if He could be with me to slay a giant like He did King David," He will. Only problem is Goliath's already dead, so He's got to get some other giants out of your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So who are these giants? I don't know. Laziness, procrastination. What's his name? You tell me.
Come on.
Drunkenness.
Mm.
Amen, listen.
Kill it.
He'll help you kill that thing.
Right.
No matter what the thing's name is, you can promise yourself this. If you look in the Bible and God says you can overcome, you will overcome it.
Right.
In fact, you ought to write that word down under the next picture you put out, overcomer. You know why? Because you're an overcomer.
Right.
Sin don't even have a dominion over you now that you're saved.
Right.
That's what Romans chapter 6 and chapter 8 teach. That now that you're saved, you got victory over that.
That's right.
So it don't feel like victory. Well, let me tell you something. I used to watch boxing back when they had real boxers. I don't even know who boxes anymore. But I watched a Leon Spinks knock out a Muhammad Ali one time. I watched a Larry Holmes become world champion, and it looked like he was unbeatable, and I saw Mike Tyson come on and knock him out. What I'm telling you is this. Every one of them guys I named you as winners, but when they walked out with a belt, they didn't feel like 100% when they walked out.
Yeah.
You imagine walking in the ring with a guy like Larry Holmes? Man who could probably crush bricks in one punch. Me and Brother Kirsch met one of those Spinks, wasn't it? What's his name, son?
Marvelous Marvin Frazier.
The son of the great Joe Frazier. He was a good boxer. He wasn't a great boxer, he was a good boxer. He lasted longer in the ring than I ever have, I'll put it that way. If you'd asked that man, after he fought Larry Holmes that time, you got kind of beat up and you got a big old whopping paycheck, how do you feel? He wouldn't have felt 100% that day. Them guys take a lot of punishment to get a lot of money.
Yeah.
And listen to this. If you want victory, you got to be willing to take some punishment and know that the outcome, listen to this, is predetermined. God's already given you the victory.
That's right.
Yeah. But it may hurt to get it there. Some of y'all, I'm going to break the news to you tonight that wrestling is not fake.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. I'm your preacher. I wouldn't lie to you. Now listen to me. It is not fake, but the outcome is predetermined, and most of the moves are choreographed. So how do you know? I've met a couple of them that's after 30 years old. They spend more time at the chiropractor than they do down at the ice cream shop now. Are you listening to me? God has it set up like that for you. Listen to this. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And guess what? It's already fixed. God lets you win at the end of the thing. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
It may be choreographed along the way, but it's going to hurt some, but you're going to win in the end because He's already gave you the victory in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
God's promises are fulfilled. He promised Joshua on that day. That day. You know, Joshua didn't see that day coming. He didn't know this was going to be that day. He just knew God said He would do it. And we see the joy of Jesus is the fact that your day's coming too.
Amen.
So what day is that? Oh, I don't know. It could be that day you pass over from here to glory and you stand there before your King and you look around and realize where you at and you'll say, Lord, have mercy. I don't know what to say, but other than praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Some of you that's never shouted in church will all of a sudden shed a tear, throw up your hands, shout, and you might even take a lap around them streets of gold. I don't know. Maybe.
Amen.
You'll at least have the health to do it anyway. God's promises were fulfilled, and these were fulfilled in Joshua chapter 4 so that they would see how God was going to fulfill the rest of what He promised because they got some difficult days coming.
Yeah.
I want you to notice that, secondly, God's preachers are focused. He says in verse 15, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, now listen to this, he got the message from the right source because it's God telling him the message. He says, now here's what you do. Point number one, command the priests that they bear the Ark of the Testimony. And number two, while they're bearing that thing, tell them to come up out of Jordan. That's his two-point message right there. God's preachers are focused, and they're focused on this right here, the Word of God. So I know some of God's preachers, we ain't talking to you, we talking to me. Amen. God's preachers are focused. Well, I know one that ripped off somebody. We ain't talking about them. We ain't talking about that brand. We ain't talking about God's brand.
Right, yeah.
We ain't talking about the Osteens and the Roberts and the Ripoffs and the Bakers and all that bunch there. We talking about God's preachers.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
We talking Redmonds and Mills and Kirsches. We talking about the real thing.
Right.
We talking about the Umbergers.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about the Stows,
right. Yeah.
Real men of God,
right.
that preach the real word of God. And we're talking about how God's using them.
Yep.
Not how the devil's using some reprobate.
Right.
But I see about them, some of these preachers out here, they've gotten messed up. And they're focused on nickels, noise, and numbers. How much was the offering for? How loud did they shout? And how many came to hear? That's how they write on the back of their outlines whether it's a success or not. Then we got some that's fooled up in girls, glory, and gold.
Yep.
I'm sick to death of hearing how preachers in certain churches will come up and people say, well, he's got a girlfriend, but he's just a man. He's a man who needs to be kicked out if he's got a girlfriend. He's disqualified himself. Girls, glory. Oh, everybody look at me. I want you to look at me. I'm going to put myself above Jesus Christ. That's what they're doing.
Come on.
And then all that gold. Bling, 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 bling. Listen, if I were you and I was caught up in that, I'd do like these gangsters do, and I'd get me a big old set of them gold teeth and a thing up there that said your name on it right there, so every time you open your mouth, we'd see you again. Gold, rubies, silvers, and diamonds. I'm telling you. But God's preachers, and all that are used of Jesus Christ, every one of them are focused on Jesus Christ and Him being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just in the pulpit, but in everyday life. God's preachers are focused on Him. You know why? They're magnifically obsessed with Jesus Christ. They've never got over being saved. So when you start backsliding, when you get over being saved, you go out there and you do what you do because you love Him and you preach the Word of God and you put up with just about anything to be able to preach the Word of God.
Right.
I had this one preacher tell me the other day, that was you, I believe, that said that he had to go down to this prison. And now they make you take off your shoes, take off your belt, take everything out your pockets, pat you down.
Yep.
And it's one particular place. And they do that not just to the preachers, they do that to the officers,
yep,
and they do it to the warden every day they come in the gates.
Yep.
That ought to tell you something. You got to put up with a lot if you're going to go in there and preach to them.
Yep.
You got to put up with some stuff to go in there and say, I ain't doing it. That's why he's going and you ain't. Because you say, I ain't. Well, I is you.
Come on.
I got that for a message title. I'm holding on for the scripture to go with it. I is you. Listen, God's preachers are focused. They say, I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
God's preachers have to walk into a place sometimes without a pastor knowing God's going to put them there and keep their mouth shut until after they voted in. You know how they mess up? How the ones you know that ain't called of God do it? They come in and tell them, God wants me to be here.
Mm.
And amazingly, the most of them never even see the pulpit after that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I thought God told... Well, maybe God didn't tell you that.
That's right.
See, you don't go around telling everything God told you personally. You have an intimate fellowship with Him where He'll show you things that you ain't supposed to be announcing everywhere. The things you ought to announce is right here. And I see that God's preachers are focused and all that are used of Jesus Christ are focused on Jesus Christ. And it says that Joshua didn't suggest they come out of that ark. He commanded it. When you get a preacher gets up and says, well, we all sin, you ain't listening to him anymore. Because now you're equal with him and everything's fine and we all just won and everybody sins and we all got an excuse to get out of the thing. But when he gets up and says, thus saith the Lord, you are in sin and thou shalt die and go to hell if thou don't get saved type thing. And he ain't talking about him and you. He's already saved. He's talking about you getting saved.
Right.
Now all of a sudden there's a difference. He's giving you the command of God rather than being trying to be your buddy and be equal with you. And now God's going to use that to do two things in your heart. First off, you're going to get mad and say, who does he think he is? Well, I'll let you know I ain't. And then he's, listen, why are you mad? You're going to try to hunt out in your Bible, find out where he's wrong, and that's when God's going to get a hold of you.
Come on.
The greatest chapter in the Bible on the Holy Spirit is Genesis chapter 24. We looked at this in Sunday school this morning, and we see that Eliezer, we wouldn't even know his name if it wasn't for chapter 23. In chapter 25 and 24, he's unnamed. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit of God keeps pointing to the Son, like Eliezer did in that chapter. That unnamed servant kept pointing to Isaac.
Yep.
And the strangest thing happened when he showed up at that well. He talked the would-be bride into getting her water to give to him when he is more capable of doing it than her.
Yeah.
So why? That's a picture of a sinner under conviction. God getting him in that book the best way he knows how, through the convicting power of the Spirit of God, because God knew that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Hadn't even been written down, but God knew that thing. Remember, it settled in heaven long before the world was created.
Right.
Ain't that something? Here's a thing for you to consider. The whole time that God was dealing with you, he is getting that water of the Word to you somehow. And you know what's even worse? You said, I ain't going to be one of them hypocrites. I ain't going to get saved. And yet you're just taking it in the whole time.
Come on.
So where's it taking that? I don't know. Funeral, maybe. And then even worse, another funeral, a wedding.
Come on.
And then late at night when no one's around, you got your iPod out or whatever the thing was. You got up under the covers, put your earbuds in when nobody finds you, and you tuned in to preaching. Water at night there. God using all that to get you to Christ. Why ain't God good to you?
Amen.
You said you'd never have nothing to do with him. Now here you say it.
Come on.
What happened? God's promises are fulfilled, and because God's preacher was focused, he kept pointing you to Jesus instead of pointing to you. He kept telling you how good he was instead of how good you are, and now all of a sudden he's magnified him and didn't magnify you, and you got mad about it. That ain't right. God loves me too somewhere in here. You know what's so funny? God put the law at the front of the Bible. You know why that is? Because most people never get past that. They never do. What's today? January the what? We had an honest poll today and had to say who wasn't reading their Bible by the 6th. Altar will be open here in a little bit. You don't have to quit. You can keep on going.
That's right.
I've missed the day before. Don't tell me you hadn't. We all do it, remember? That's how it works, right? We all sinners. How about this? How about you stay on task and quit looking over, see who's beside you, and keep going forward for the Lord, and make Him your focus and keep going on for Jesus, and be used of God, even in the smallest way. He rewards that in heaven.
Amen.
A lot of these big eyes are going to find out that the little U's had it going on in on earth when they get to heaven. There's a thing that we get a list of this particular camp meeting type thing that's going on, and then there'll be this other one, and then this other one. I get them all the time, and your name ain't never on them, my name ain't never on them. Your picture wasn't on one, your picture wasn't on one. I couldn't find my picture on one. So how did you know? I looked. But I noticed this. When we get to heaven, all them things ain't going to matter.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what you did for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You may not go throw away a week's worth and go somewhere and take off work for no reason and go do something like that, but you could be used of God right where you at,
right,
and stay focused on Jesus Christ and be used of God greatly.
That's right.
Get to heaven and find out all that bunch was camp meeting hobos. They wouldn't buy a motel room or a dinner anywhere that's going from one camp meeting to another just to eat and have a free motel. It's almost like a vacation. I hope nobody takes me up on this, but that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
Hey, Jesus Christ preachers, they're focused. You know what they do? They come to places where the sinners are.
Yeah.
They're not worried about impressing that bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees, depending on whether you're independent or Southern Baptist. Amen. Listen, they ain't worried about that at all. We're worried about reaching sinners for Jesus Christ. We're worried about evangelizing the sinner. We're worried about edifying the body of Christ. We want to exalt the Savior, and we do that because we focused on Him.
Yes.
I want you to notice down there in verse number 17, the Bible says this. He said, Joshua commanded the priests, and then down here in verse number 18, and it came to pass. He told them, come ye up out of Jordan, verse 17, and then verse 18, and it came to pass. Every time you see, and it came to pass in the Bible, that's one more reason for you to believe God and follow Him.
Right.
He said it came to pass. What's this? We see that out of all this stuff here, listen, God's people are faithful. It came to pass. It said, when the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Now, I want you to notice this. God's people are faithful. I see that right here, that when the man of God told them to come up, they were willing to come up out of there. They had the Ark of the Covenant. And this morning I hadn't looked up the weight of this thing, so I spent this afternoon and I looked up the weight of that Ark of the Covenant. Do you know there's more controversy over the weight of that thing than there is on how many paper clips, how many or whatever in them little jars you guess about? And all of them literally are just a guess. But if you give the fact that acacia wood, and let's make it 2 inches thick in places, and they built that frame around there for that thing there, and they overlaid it with gold, then they put that top on it and overlaid it, then they have solid gold cherubims that are beat out of stone, out of stone hammers to make them up, and then you got the rings on the side, and then you open that thing up, put the stuff that was in there and put it on there. I believe that when they got that thing picked up, it had been somewhere around 550 pounds. I told you this morning, we was using an illustration of four priests carrying that thing. I believe if I was a priest, I'd ask for four more. I'm telling you. I watch them guys in the weight room sometimes. They'll do all that stuff, and then they get up and look at yourself. Make him faint, jump, you know, do all this stuff. I said, man, check them out. I asked the lady at the YMCA one time, I said, why y'all got cameras? She said, so I can watch them watch theirself. But they do that stuff. They'll put that weight up there. But to my knowledge, I've never seen one of them put up 550 by itself. They may do it when I ain't there, but I ain't seen one. I watched a man do it on tape a couple of times. I ain't seen one in person. All I know is if he drops that thing, that's going to be like a guillotine. It's coming all the way down. You ever wonder why they got them spotters up there? Just in case. Just in case. Hey, but I see that God's people are faithful because those priests never did say, boy, this thing's heavy. They just stood there and held the thing. Imagine standing out in the hot sun. They just dried up all the water, and there you are on dry land. You standing there for 12 hours. Hope you boys are wearing hats. Because if you're the least little bit bald, it's coming.
That's right.
Hey, those of you that want to have a good-looking haircut like mine, you got to wear hats during the sunshine.
Right.
Okay? Not you'll learn why the first time, and that'll be the only time you need. You won't need no more schooling past that one sunburned head.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here before you, they went out there and held that thing up because it was their job to do and they were faithful. I don't know how often they trained to pick up that thing. I'm not sure God allowed them to just handle it in practice. But they had to handle it that day. God never said anywhere in the Bible that I know of that they had to have supernatural strength to hold that ark up and that thing. You know, we like to quote right there, I can do all things through Christ's strength. But he didn't say y'all can ask for that and give it here. He just said, go do it. So what did he do? He probably did at that point, but I don't know. I don't say he did. But I do know this much. When we get down into that verse and it says it came to pass, they held it up the whole time. And God's people are faithful. You say, I'm not faithful. Don't worry. God will fix you. I've never seen somebody that belonged to God where if they wasn't something they're supposed to be, that God didn't take care of that. He'll fix it.
Right.
See, a lot of people are wanting to bring conviction through the flesh to get people to do right when it's only going to be the Holy Spirit of God inside the believer that's going to get them to do right.
Right.
See, the one thing about God's people is this. We are faithful. And if not, we're corrected, and then we're faithful. He'll get you back where you need to be. Don't worry. Try to stray. Go on out there and try it. And you know what? It's like that comedian says, how'd that work out for you? You're going to say, not too good. I mean, that's where you're going to be at. You'll say, thank God, listen, thank God he forgives. And listen, you can be preaching in a pulpit every day of your life, backside on God, and God corrects you. You can be a grass cutter or a mill worker or a welder or whatever. You try to get away from God, he's got a way to get you right back in. That's what he does. He's a faithful follower, and all his people are faithful.
Yes.
I've never met a Christian that don't tithe. I don't believe that. Go look at their medical bills and come back and tell me you don't believe it too. Go ask them.
Yes.
Find out. See, God's got a way to get all that stuff.
Yes.
And here's the thing. He's faithful with that, and you will be too.
That's right.
And I'm not talking about money. I mean, he wants 10% of everything.
Yeah.
But the easiest way to do it is give him 100%, let him tell you what to do with the rest of it.
Yeah. Right.
That's the easiest way to do that. Time, talents, treasures, all that. Give it to the Lord, let him tell you how to disperse it, and it'll work out so much better.
Amen.
You'll find out that God is faithful and God's people are faithful. And it says of them that these men standing there, their time spent while watching everybody walk over, not one complaint is recorded out of the whole crowd. Not one time do you hear a guy say, "Now God, why have I got to stand here holding this ark, this stave of this ark, and this bunch just gets to walk on by me?" You imagine how that felt, holding up 550 plus pounds? One guy I read behind said that thing could have been as light as 188 pounds. I tell you what, to the guy that said that, I want you to do one thing. I got a bunch of songbooks here. They all weigh the same thing. I'm not going to ask you to pick up a bunch of them. I'm just going to ask you to pick up one in each hand and hold them like this for as long as you can. And tell me when 12 hours is up. Oh, 30 minutes later, you're right here about to die.
Yeah.
I had a man tell me one time, old country boy, he said, "Listen," he said, "all them boys out there trying to get them big muscles, they just learn to hold their books in a hand like this about 4 hours a day. They'd have more strength than they know what to do with." I tried it, and 5 minutes later, I was like, "Man, that's the worst 4 minutes of my life." Listen, you got to understand, God's people are faithful, and when He told them to go do that, they went and done it.
Yeah.
There's our example of what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the very thing they were carrying was the Ark of the Covenant, and that thing itself is a central part to everything they were doing. If they were to move anywhere back 40 years, they're wandering in a desert, anywhere they moved to Sinai, they took that thing and it got set up first. Then they built everything and camped everything around it.
Right.
Why? Because that thing shows the presence and power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. Is your ark heavy tonight? Well, listen, you may have to carry it into some places you don't want to carry it, but listen, God's people are faithful. We'll carry it there.
Amen.
Listen, would you carry His ark into a place where you don't have the floor? See, it's different when you get in a church like this and we preach against them liberal reprobates and that bunch of idiots and all them Bible correctors and all that. What about when you get to preach to them, though? Message going to change?
Come on.
We all sinners, you know. we all understand how it is to be in the ministry. No, we don't. If that bunch knew what it was being a minister, God would have put them there and they wouldn't be sitting there correcting His book.
Right.
Amen. So how did Peter preach to them? I don't know. He let them have it over in the book of Acts a couple of times and he got set in front of them.
Yeah.
So which liberals? The Sadducees? He's right there in the Sanhedrin Council preaching all of them. Why? Because God opened the door.
Amen.
Hey, listen. Your message is going to change. You got to preach down at the Methodist Church. We're still going to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and baptism being a picture of that with the little spittoon sitting over here they baptize out of. Are you listening to me? Is your message going to change if the Presbyterians say, "Listen, we have a joint funeral, such and such died, and they want you to be part of the funeral." You going to get up there and not say something about all that garbage they teach?
Well.
Or some of them Baptists that believe like that? How about this? How about the mother whore calls you old Roman Catholic Church and says, "You going to come preach to us at this funeral? Is the message going to change then?"
Oh,
you need to listen to your priest. He's such a godly man. That's what Billy Graham said about the Pope.
Come on.
Jack Van Impe called him a hero of the faith.
Yep.
Wow. Now listen to me. What you going to do with all that? You need to be faithful.
Right.
No matter how heavy it is, no matter what the cost, go in there with God's ark and let the Word of God do the talking.
Amen.
Nothing spoke to 2.5 million people like watching those guys stand there all day.
Yeah.
They weren't like construction guys, Brother Steve. They weren't just doing nothing, holding up shovels. They were actually holding something.
Right.
Somebody believed one time, they said they might have had it on their shoulders. Wherever they had it, it still weighed the same.
Yeah.
And it still took all of them to hold it up.
Right.
And as long as that thing sat there, that water kept piling up back there 20 miles up the river. Dry land right here, they couldn't even hear the water running.
Yeah.
Why? Because of the presence of that ark right there. Yeah. Now listen to this. When Joshua told them to come out of the thing, what did they do again? Come right out of it. What happened to the water when they got out of there? Oh, it went back just like it was before. You're going to find out that sometimes you're going to take that ark into places. You be faithful with what God tells you, and He'll stop everything for them to listen. And you're going to walk out of that thing, and sometimes they're just going to be like they was before.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got to do what God says and be faithful, just like God's faithful to you. Go in there and take that message. Tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, about His love for sinners, how He gave and shed His blood to pay for their sin, and how they can be born again by the grace of Almighty God. With no works from man available to help do the thing. I see a lot of people get messed up on this. But listen, the joy in doing the work of God is not so much when God blesses you, but when God overcomes something in somebody else's life that's had a real problem with things down the road.
Right.
So how do you see that? You got to keep carrying, man. You got to be faithful. You got to carry the burden God gave you and do the thing God gave you. Be faithful where God puts you, and God will let you see some things.
Right.
One of my favorite things to hear is, well, not everybody in that church is right with God. Well, not everybody in the hospital is sick either. We saw ambulance turning around today without his lights on, going back to the place. What was it? Probably somebody who wasn't really bad off.
Yeah.
What I figured was, when in charismatic churches, somebody fell out and they visited the Baptist church, if I'm mistaken, they fell out and they called the thing and said, this one dropped dead on us. We don't know what to do with them. They said they was getting killed or something, and they fell out, so we called the ambulance. They got here and this is completely fine.
Yeah.
Just watch that bunch. Watch their watch while they're laying down there. You'll see.
Yeah.
But listen to me very carefully. Somehow, in some way, you be faithful where you at, and God will let you see things get turned around in people's lives. Listen, no matter where you're at in this world, you go where God says go, and somewhere along the way, you're going to see a story of somebody come up out of some problems, and God's going to overcome that thing, and they're going to be grinning from ear to ear, happy as they can be, don't know what to do with theirself, and you're going to look at that and say, Lord, thank you for letting me be part of what you're
Amen.
Doing. You're going to see some sinner come wandering in a place where you're at. He's going to get saved, or she's going to get saved, and you're going to see God overcome the God-awful sin out of somebody's life. And you're going to say to yourself, I'm so glad I was here to see that thing and God do that thing.
Amen.
You're going to see somebody get in a mess, get out of the house of God, and God do a great deliverance and bring them back with more than they came out with before. Hello, Job. You never know what God may allow in somebody's life to test them. We may not all pass the test like Job. We might tell that woman to shut up and get in a mess. Or even worse, we'll tell her to keep talking and listen to everything she says and do what she says. So who's that woman? Hillary Clinton.
Come on.
You didn't think I was talking about your mother-in-law, did you, son? I mean, really, come on now. But I'm telling you, God's people are faithful.
Yes.
And we have to learn that thing. We can't learn that at the school of theology. We've got to learn this in the school of hard knocks most of the time.
Right.
And listen, all of God's people suffer. We either suffer like Job, like I mentioned him, or we suffer like Lot. But we're going to suffer. You either suffer right or you suffer wrong, but you're going to suffer. But you know what God does? He takes people that's trying to avoid all that suffering and puts them through suffering so they'll learn to be faithful to Him.
Amen.
You know what God doesn't need in this day and age? You know what He's not looking for? Lip service.
Right.
And in the Bible it says that Isaiah spoke well of them for that thing. Because they say and they do not. There's this guy who used to sing on one of these Christian channels. He said he was in a church over in Spartanburg. And over the years, he was sitting there watching that thing. And he was a singer and all that. And I'll never forget him telling that story. He said, we went down to a preacher's house one day. So he blew up television for 5 straight weeks and was against that thing and all this other stuff. He said, we got in his house one day talking to him about something. We noticed a cord coming out the bottom of the closet over there. I said, preacher, you vacuum cleaner cords over there. And he said, that ain't no vacuum cleaner cord. So what kind of cord is that? It's a drop cord where you'd have the TV on wheels. It'd roll it out and see like some of them come here and roll it back in there. At that time, the cord didn't go all up in there. They say and they do not.
Right.
See, how it works out is like this. God's people are faithful. We learn from the school of hard knocks. We have to put up with people in the 1940s saying preaching on the radios of the devil. Had old man tell me this. He is 80 years old back in the 1990s and told me this. He said, when I was a kid, it was a sin to preach on the radio until all them preachers got radio ministries. Then it was a sin to preach on TV, to be on television. He said, for the last 30 years, they've been preaching against television while they all got radio ministries. He said, one day they're going to start having TV ministries and be okay with that. And it's like a word of prophecy. They all are. And then they all started preaching against the internet. That thing's of the devil, and they're all on TV. Like a fellow told me one time, he said, how can you preach against the television all the time when you're selling me CDs to put in my radio and DVDs to play on my, what have I got again? TV.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? We have lied to ourselves about all this stuff. We've lied to our children and said video games is your problem. We've lied to our wives and said that TV is your problem. And we've lied to ourselves and said we was right with God. You know why? Because it wasn't none of that. It's been the heart the whole time.
Right.
Yep. Deceitful and desperately wicked.
Right.
Boy, I like this stuff.
Amen.
I guess theoretically I'm on TV now. But listen to me. It's not that TV, it's not that, it's that heart.
That's right.
That thing's the problem.
That's right.
You know what they used to do to us when we was kids? They'd take away our phone privileges. In junior high, you couldn't use the phone 2 weeks if you get a bad grade or something like that. I thought I was the only one under that persecution, then I found out all the rest of my friends suffered from the same persecution.
Yeah.
Well, what would they do with them now? They live, eat, breathe, and sleep that telephone now.
Yeah.
You took that from them, they'd walk around like this. What the withdrawals? Can't check my text.
Yeah.
And that's just 5-year-olds. Imagine how them teenagers would be.
Yeah.
But I see God's people are faithful because, listen, no matter what God does, He don't have to point out one particular thing. He just goes after the problem, and the problem's us.
Sure.
And He gets us faithful. Why? Because He wants you to be faithful like His Son Jesus. And if I'm not mistaken, over in Romans chapter 8, it says when somebody gets saved, it said He's conforming them to the image of His Son.
Yes.
You know what His Son was? The same thing them priests were standing there, the same thing them people was that walked over, and the same thing that Joshua was. One word, faithful.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.